Let's open God's Word, the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Gospel of John, chapter 20. I'm very appreciative for you people. You sat through two Wednesday nights of dealing with why Jesus Christ came to earth. And I'm working on maybe putting that in a little pamphlet form. And I just needed to keep going over it to be sure the kinks were out. And so let's begin. Are there any announcements I'm not aware of? Pat, how are you doing, hon?
I'm good. I'm going to church tomorrow. And then I'll know, what she thinks.
Okay. So. Is this the sergeant you've been working with? No?
I know from the school, but okay. She's never been on with you.
All right. But she has got all the documents and tests and
everything.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll be in prayer for wisdom and courage and for God to do His magical work, miraculous work. And the nail is completely good. Good. Okay. Any other requests? Yes.
Yeah, we just learned yesterday that her friend Gail, who has the stage 4 cancer,
yes,
it is so bad they had to put her in hospice yesterday.
Okay.
Sunday. And so just be in prayer for her.
Be in prayer. God will take her home quickly.
And for Bill.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we need to be in prayer of our president. And in my lifetime, 75 years, I've never seen anything like what's going on. But that's the condition of this country. It's the condition of the people in it. And we'll just have to see how it plays out. Okay, let's begin with the word of yes.
Larry Kester passed away.
Oh.
And I met a young man today, a 27-year-old reservist in the military. He's trying to get back into the service, but they're holding him back. So he wants to ask for some prayers.
So we pray
for you. Get your back in the service.
Why does he?
He wants to serve his country. He's bold. If they hold him backwards as a drill instructor, they want to keep him there to train other guys.
Oh.
A good drill instructor is worth their weight. I hated mine, but they're worth their weight. And you just can't imagine how anyone can be that mean. And that ruthless and that cruel and that insensitive.
You didn't have the same German relative like
it. I didn't. Man, that guy, he didn't come in and tuck us in bed. He didn't ask us how we're doing. Nothing. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we have spent time on the cross of our Savior, in the grave, His resurrection, and the next great historical event is the ascension of our Lord, leaving this earth, returning to You, that we might understand this in a way that it has an impact on us, where the Holy Spirit will bring this about. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name, and for His glory. Amen. Okay, verse 17 of John 20. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to Me." Okay, why? Why did He not want Mary to cling to Him? Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to Me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." Next, we have that important particle gar, and translated far, introducing the reason why she is to stop clinging to Him. She is clinging, she is to stop clinging to Him. "For I have not yet ascended." The perfect active indicative. I know you don't like much of the Greek, things like that, but this is very important here. It's a compound verb made up of a prefix, ana, which means up, plus bino, B-A-I-N-O, which means to come or to go, and therefore to come or to go up, to ascend upward. Now, what is important here, and the reason I mention that perfect tense, the classification of this perfect tense is intensive. Intensive use of the perfect tense, which places emphasis on the present result or the present state or condition resulting from a past action. I love Greek. It's that rich. Just by giving you the tense of a verb, it can tell you that this verb is dependent upon, the state of this verb is dependent upon a condition resulting from a past action. What was the past action? Resurrection. So resurrection sets up the place now for ascension. Now, this has just occurred. The resurrection is very much on his mind in his humanity. He's just been raised from the dead, and so it's very much on his mind. This word introduces one of the most dramatic events in human history. Twice now, the great Stephen Hawking has declared events that will be the most dramatic and most important events in human history. How we're going to make the man God, and we're going to change evolution. We're going to do away with human beings, and we're going to, through biotechnology, create this new creation being. It's going to be the greatest thing that ever happened in human history. Well, doesn't even compare, I'm sorry, Mr. Genius, with the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session of our Savior. To Jesus Christ leaving the earth, an essential point in his life and in the angelic conflict. He's going to leave earth. Now, in December, we celebrate his coming to earth, the birth of Jesus Christ. That is God entering into his human history as a member of the human race. So we now have two questions laid before us. Why did Jesus Christ come to the human race? Secondly, why is Jesus Christ going to ascend to the Father? We have well documented why Jesus Christ came into the world, why he left God the Father to become a member of the human race. Now let's look at his departing from the earth back to God the Father. Now, in our study on why Jesus Christ came to earth, we saw several times in those 30-plus reasons why he came, how close he was to God the Father, and that he would desire, we saw it when we studied it, of course he would desire to return to the Father. It's not surprising. In fact, the last Passover in the upper room, last Passover, first large table, he made a profound statement to his disciples that I use often in funerals. Look at John 14. John 14. We're not in a funeral setting here, but this is so dramatic and important to our study. John 14, verse 28. You heard that I said to you, I go away, ascension, and I will come to you, rapture. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. So if we loved him, we would rejoice with him. He's going to the Father. And if we understand the importance of that, wonderful. And I apply this to people, family, friends, of someone, some believer that's just died. If you really love them, you rejoice. In fact, you get a little upset. Why aren't I going with you? See? And because they're going to be with God the Father. Now, this verse is filled with theology. The John 14, 28 is filled with theology. I go away. That's the doctrine of ascension of Jesus Christ, marking temporary closure of the age of Israel and beginning of the church age, which we will study in a proper time in Acts 1. Then it says, and I will come to you spiritually in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, historically, the rapture of the church. Gospel of John 14, 1 through 3. First reference to the rapture. Let's just look at it so that you be sure you got an understanding of rapture passages in the New Testament. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now they're troubled. He's going away. They don't understand a lot, so they're disturbed by this. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, the New Jerusalem. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Now here's the key. If I go, that's the ascension, if I go and prepare a place for you, that's one of the things he's doing now while he's departed from the earth, I will come again. That's the rapture. And receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And this is part of the study of the Lord's Prayer, where he prays the same thing in John 17. Now let's go back to John 14, 28. I go away, and I will come to you. And then he says, if you loved me. Now this is what we classify as a second class condition. You don't. You don't love me. Oh, Peter loves the Lord. John loves the Lord. No, not with the love that God's looking for, people. They do not have the Holy Spirit yet. They could have. He offered it to them, but they didn't grab it. And so if you love me, and they love him in the flesh, but that doesn't impress God. That doesn't even compare with love in the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is designed to pour in spiritual love, which has directed your love toward God, toward Christ, toward one another. And so this is what they do not have. Then it says, if you love me, you would have rejoiced. This isn't the time or the place for us to do this, but there's a very close relationship between spiritual love of the Holy Spirit and rejoicing. Things that you spiritually love, you rejoice in. It can be in human things. Yesterday, my wife and I celebrated our 8th wedding anniversary. Now, 8 in human terms isn't very long, but when you start at 69, that's a pretty long time. So that's the whole issue there. Okay, so you would have rejoiced. And so this is what would have happened if they had been filled with the Spirit and understood what was going on. Because I go to the Father. Now, why is he returning to God the Father? Here we have one of the reasons. For the Father, the Greek conjunction introduces cause of the preceding. Because I go to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And we have a proper attitude toward Jesus Christ. We rejoice with that. Because he's greater. And we should want to see Jesus Christ, he's greater than we, and God the Father, who is greater than he. This is why we should soothe our sorrows when a saved loved one dies. And this is why we ourselves should look forward to our own departure from this earth and really should rejoice and have that attitude and that prayer to Father. Yes, we sorrow. I'm not saying we don't. We won't. But it's tempered with a joy of where they are. This is one of the wonders of God understanding our sensitivity to things and what we need. Now, John chapter 1, the first chapter of John, don't turn, John chapter 1 concentrates on Jesus Christ coming into the world in the beginning, which is now the beginning. God was with the eternal Word and those kind of things, and how he became flesh. And so it deals with, the first chapter deals with the coming of Jesus Christ, while the end of John deals with the departure of Jesus Christ, the returning of Jesus Christ to God the Father. Now, John 20:17. Let's go back to John 20:17. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." Again, the use of the perfect places emphasis, the present state, where he is, getting ready to ascend, based on a previous experience, a previous event, the resurrection. So first we must understand the dependent relationship between the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. Then the dependent relationship on the ascension of Christ and the session of Christ. That means the seating of Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father. So we have the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ from earth to heaven, and the seating of Christ at the right hand of God the Father. So these events are so beautifully put together. All right, I have not yet ascended. Again, ascended is a compound verb, and it means to go up. And we translate it ascend to depart of Jesus Christ, not something new to his followers, if they've been paying attention. If they had been paying attention in the power of the Holy Spirit. John records this event three times in the Gospel of John. Let's look at John 3. John 3. And most people think John 3:16 is about it. There is so much in John 3 that it boggles the mind that so much can be put into one chapter. But John 3, let's look at verse 13. John 3:13. No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Now, this is a prophetic statement that Jesus Christ himself would at some point ascend into heaven. You will recall Jesus Christ said this to Nicodemus. No one through human history has ascended into heaven before Jesus Christ who came down from heaven. The first member of the human race to ascend into heaven, Jesus Christ. And people, because Jesus Christ ascends into heaven, we have that same hope. We have the confidence that we also will ascend into heaven because he ascended. We have the confidence of our resurrection. We have the confidence of our ascension into heaven at the rapture, or if you die before the rapture. So this is our hope, our confidence, that we will follow him. That we will follow him when we die. We will ascend into heaven. Think about this. We know exactly what is going to happen the moment we die. And that's comforting. That's really comforting for ourselves when we die, for us when someone that we love is dying. It's very comforting. It's discomforting when we know that they have not believed in Jesus Christ. And I beckon you, if that ever happens, you concentrate on the cross. He died for them. They rejected him, but he died for them. So what you need to have your concentration is what Christ did do for them. But this is really wonderful to me, what God did for us. We don't have to wonder about it. We don't have to, what's going to happen the moment I die? I know exactly what's going to happen. I will be transported face to face with the Lord in the third heaven. Wham! It's done. It's over. So, be with him and with God the Father. Now, I know we also will be joined with those we knew on earth and loved here on earth. But we're believers, but people, I pray that when you think of dying, when you think of what's going to happen the moment you die, I hope that you're not thinking about those people. I hope that the ministry here has gotten you so involved with Christ that that's the first thing that enters your mind, your relationship with Jesus Christ. I will see him. I will be with him. See, if I've done my job correctly, that will be your first thought. That will be your comfort. I will be with my Savior. I will see Him face to face as He is. And that's our joy, our comfort, our solace in that time when it comes. Okay, for more important than seeing anyone else on earth is the importance of seeing Jesus Christ, God the Father. We won't see Him, but where He is. No one has ascended into heaven but He who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. We're back now to John. So let's take up John 3. No one has ascended into heaven but He who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Here we can see the close relationship of descending and ascending. See, we think of the time frame, whatever number of years it is, no one's really dogmatically sure how old Christ was when He died. We like to think 33. But if you think that He was born in 4 B.C., and then if He's crucified in 30 A.D., you've got 34 years. So it doesn't really matter. What matters is that we believe that He did die during the sins of the world on the cross. But the close relationship, forget those years. He came, He's going back. He came, He died, rose, and gone back. And that's the way it plays out in history. And so that's what this is about as far as the history is concerned. Now, I want you to note in the John 3:14, it says, the Son of Man. Jesus Christ's own words, the Son of Man. Jesus Christ does not say the Son of God. Since He's thinking of the Father, I would have thought He would say the Son of God. He doesn't say that. The Son of Man. And He does this purposefully. People, there are so many different ways we need to know Jesus Christ. The Son of God, the Son of Man. We need to know Him as Savior. Do you know Jesus Christ as your shepherd? Do you know Him as the good shepherd? The great shepherd? The chief shepherd? Do you know Him these ways? If you're a believer in Christ, you've met Him as the good shepherd who gives His life. If you grow in the knowledge of Christ in your life, you're developing a rapport and a relentless intimacy with the great shepherd. And then upon our death, when we're in heaven with Him, we will have relationship with Him as the chief shepherd. So we need to know Him as our shepherd in life. To me, one of the most important, do you know Him as your friend? This is so important to me. For so many years before I married, He was the epitome of my friendship. He was there every day and every night with me. And it still is that strong feeling of that friendship we have with Him. And I started developing it when I was an adolescent. And He was with me in my teenage years and so forth. He's your friend. You can talk with Him. You can depend on Him. He will always be there. I'll tell you something else. I hope you know Him as your defense attorney. Not trying to defend yourself. Not trying to defend your sins. Not trying to explain away your sins. But remain silent and let Him speak for you as your defense attorney. Do you know Him as your prophet? See, the Jews were looking for Him. They were looking for the promised prophet. So this is what they were looking for. But I don't think very many Christians in the church age think of Him as the prophet. But people, let me tell you something. He is an unbelievable prophet. He is an unbelievable prophet. Throughout all of that's going to happen in the tribulation, the millennium, second advent, so many wonderful things that He Himself prophesied. Therefore, we should know Him intimately, personally, as our prophet. Do you know Him as your high priest, your king? And please know the personal relationship, your. Not know Him as king, not know Him as priest, your king, your priest, your shepherd, your relationship with him. There's a big difference there. Big difference. So you might know somebody that's important in human standard, but you don't have intimacy with them. But when you have intimacy with someone, that changes everything and makes everything change to the wonder, to being really, really wonderful. And that's what marriage is about. It's what my marriage is about. Knowing Judith and then marrying, developing that intimacy. It's what we need to do with Jesus Christ. You need to know him as your friend, your high priest, your king, your shepherd. And that's the great issue. You know him as your bridegroom. He's your bridegroom. When you study the Bible, you consider that he is faithful and the true witness of God. He's my true witness of God. Not anybody else. Jesus Christ is my witness of God, the true witness of God. Do you know him as head of the church? Do you know him as your hope? He is our hope. See? Do you know him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? Do you know him not only as the light of the world, but the light of your life? What your life is light, illuminated by, that directs you in making the decisions that you make. Do you know him as your master? Your master in the daily decisions you have to make in your life. Do you know him as the Prince of Peace, your peace in your life, your Redeemer, your resurrection? I think one of the most profound statements, everybody likes to jump on Mary, because Martha, when she said that Mary's in there listening to Jesus while she's doing all the work and got braced by the Lord, and I've met Pat, they really let her have it. They don't counter that with her unbelievable response when Lazarus was dead. And Mary was up in her room pouting. Martha was down waiting, met the Lord, and she said, "Yes, I know about the resurrection." And the Lord said to her, "I am the resurrection. Do you know him as the resurrection? Not as much as an event. I'll be with him. I'll be raised up out of the ground or out of the air and see him in the air as my Redeemer, as the Prince of Peace." These are some of the ways that we can know him. In other words, people, what difference? You have to answer this yourself. What difference does Jesus Christ make in your life? What difference does he make in your finances? What difference does he make in your relationships with people? I tried to say that to the graduate Sunday. The difference he makes in your marriage, decisions you make in life. What difference does he make? Does he make a difference? I don't mean on Sunday, maybe on Wednesday. I'm talking about every day, the decisions that we have to make. Now, right now, we're focusing on him as the Son of Man. And it's no accident that Jesus Christ refers to himself as the Son of Man, speaking of his ascension and descension from heaven and his ascension back to heaven. This is one, if not the primary, references to himself. It is used almost entirely by him in reference to himself. Now, we're not going to study the full doctrine of the Son of Man. Let me just highlight some of the things for you. One, the title, the Son of Man, was Jesus Christ's favorite reference to himself, even over Son of God. Jesus Christ will refer to himself as the Son of Man over 80 times in the Gospels. Over 80 times he will refer to himself as the Son of Man. Two, by this title, we know him as the representative of the human race. He is our representative on that cross. He's our representative in his ascension. So, he is our representative. Three, as the Son of David, Jewish name, Son of God, divine name, Son of Man, is human name. That's the one that's vital to us, Son of Man. Four, What is interesting is that this title of Jesus Christ is used in reference to His first coming, John 3:13. With His crucifixion, the Son of Man is often used in reference to His dying on the cross. Therefore, it says, the Son of Man must be lifted up. When you see the Son of Man lifted up. And that's our passage in John 3:14-15. Now, with His death and resurrection, Matthew 12:40, Matthew 20:18, Matthew 26:2, with His death and resurrection, Son of Man, Matthew 12:40, Matthew 20:18, Matthew 26:2. Is referred in the ascension, John 3:13. In His second advent. Second advent. Turn with me to Matthew 24. Now that should just ring a bell to you. Oh, Matthew 24:25. That's Jesus Christ talking about the second advent, tribulation, second advent. Oh, I know that. I hope that's what you're thinking. Okay. Matthew 24. And let's note verse 30. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man twice coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Now look at Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. So here again, the Son of Man, second advent. And one that I have to keep mentioning, because few people are conscious of Jesus Christ as their judge. That He was judge for them, they know. But you have to know, He's also our judge at the judgment seat of Christ. So just remember that. At the judgment seat of Christ, He's going to be your judge. It's your friend, your Savior. And the more you're intimate with Him in your time on earth, the more you'll be pleased when you stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. Have nothing to be shameful about. Nothing to regret. You were my friend on earth. You're my friend now. Not because of my works, but because of our intimacy. Okay, so this becomes important. Point five. This is a specific name used in reference to His coming in the Old Testament. Please turn to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel 7, verse 13. Daniel 7, verse 13. Daniel speaking. His vision. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a Son of Man was coming, and He came up to the Ancient of Days, that's God the Father, and was presented before Him. Verse 14, and to Him, right, there's the ascension, see? The Son of Man was coming, and He came up to the Ancient of Days, that's the Ascension of Christ, Ancient of Days to God the Father. God the Father presented before God the Father. Verse 14. And to Him, that is the Son of Man, was given by the Ancient of Days, God the Father, dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. All of that was very important. Remember, every language, go back to Genesis when all the languages came about. That's very important in history. But in every language might serve him. His the millennium, his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, go into eternity future. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. So these are the things related to the coming of the ascension, the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. Now let's go back to John 3:13. No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Okay, one. Jesus Christ was the first human to descend from heaven, to come down from heaven to earth. We have studied why he came to earth. That we took 2 Wednesday nights for it. And we're not through yet, but that's just a secret. Okay, point two. Jesus Christ was the first person to ascend into heaven after the resurrection. And I hope some of you are thinking, wait a minute. And it went up. What about that? These kinds of things that you know about. I'll answer all of that. They didn't ascend into heaven as Christ did. There's a difference. And that's what makes the ascension of Jesus Christ so remarkable. Okay, point three. Let's take a quick look at everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior. That's you and me. I want to do this before we left this. First of all, turn to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. I'm so frightened of how short my time is. I want to add 2 more nights a week and just go through the epistles and these kind of things very quickly and all that. But I'm afraid I'd come here and even Jim Langston would have a note over here. Just push this button for tonight's class. But there's just so much that I've not covered in the scriptures. But let's look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, whence also we wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. What does that mean? That means you're from heaven. By your second birth, you're from heaven. By your second birth, you descended from heaven. Let's put with this, John 3. Put with this, John 3. Let's open the Word of God to John 3. Verse 3. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to him, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say to you, except one be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What's the problem? Born anew, that means born from above. Not born anew, not born again. Born from above. Peter uses the word born again. Jesus uses the word born from above. So you put these two things together. We are born from above. Our citizenship is above. We're here on earth. We have descended to earth, and therefore we are on earth. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we are born from above. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, you don't want to get carny. Where are you from? I'm from heaven. People think you're a weirdo. But that's where we're from. You know, we like to say, well, I was born, and I'm from Hollywood, California. I'm from this. I'm from that. This type of stuff. Oh, I'm from heaven. What? You nut. See? But that's true. We're all born from above because the moment we believed in Christ. Therefore, when we die or are raptured, we return, ascend into heaven with the Lord. So we're born in heaven, come down to earth, live our life on earth as a believer. Then we die or raptured, taken back up, ascend back up into heaven. So therefore, we follow Jesus Christ. Come down to earth, go back up. No one comes down to earth, goes up to heaven, except he has come down to earth. Christ was the first one. We follow suit. Now, the second reference to the ascension by the Gospel of John, we just looked at John 3. Let's look at the second one, John 6. John 6, verse 62. People want to know why it took me so long to get through John. Well, it's over 62 verses in one chapter. Man, you don't cover that in one night, usually. All right. John 6, verse 62. What then? If you should behold the Son of Man, there's that title again, ascending where he was before. First note here that again, Jesus Christ refers to himself as the Son of Man. Once he ascends into heaven, he opens the way for all members of the human race to enter into heaven. Of course, only those who believe in Jesus Christ will make that ascension into heaven. But he's opened the way for all to do it. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you will ascend into heaven. Secondly, note the all-important phrase, where he was before. Don't lose sight of that. Where he was before. This is theologically staggering. How was he in heaven before the incarnation? He was and has been forever in heaven, John 1, 1 through 3. But was he there in his humanity? See, did his humanity start at the incarnation? See, but he took the form of man, descended from heaven to earth, taking the form of man that he might take our place. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Pertinent to our study, I should start in verse 5. But due to the dynamics of this chapter, let's read from verse 1. If, and it's true, therefore, there is any encouragement in Christ, and of course there is, if there is any consolation of love, and there is, if there is any fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and there is, if any affection and compassion, and there both exist, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. A little parenthetical remark. Verse 2, I used to read in marriages, but I realized that is never going to happen. That happens in so few marriages that I'm rattling my tongue. So I quit. But I thought it was very apropos for a wedding. Make my joy complete to the spouse, being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. I think it's beautiful, but it's not very practical. Okay. Huh? Yes. That isn't nice. I gave it up before I married. Okay, verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. I think that's most befitting. Verse 4. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Now, verse 5 begins our study. We stop the marriage counseling and go to our study now. Verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Where does that come from? That's Satan. Satan grasped to be like God. Satan grasped to sit on the throne equal to God. But not Jesus Christ. Verse 7. But emptied his deity, himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, Christmas story, descension, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, spiritual death. Therefore, also God highly exalted him, ascension and session, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. People have a lot of problem with that. Well, doesn't this teach everyone saved? Every human being will eventually be saved? No, it doesn't say they will believe. If you go back to history, human history, the time of kings and England and these kind of things, people bowed to the king and praised him as being king, this kind of thing. So they will do those things, but not believe in him. There's a big difference in what's going on. Okay, but the point I want you to see is the ascension of Christ, the descension of Christ, and the ascension back to heaven. So all through his life, Jesus Christ anticipated his crucifixion and his ascension back to heaven with God the Father. And why not? We would think of him that way. The third reference to his ascension is our study. So let's look at John 20. This is the third reference to the ascension of Christ in the Gospel of John. John 20, verse 17. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I am not yet ascended." Now, what we're going to do now, and we'll just get to one part and probably repeat it next week, but we'll begin a study of the ascension of Christ. But I want you to understand, I'm not going to do Acts 1 at this point, but that's where the ascension will take place. But we're just going to note some of the things that are important for us to bear in mind when we think of the ascension of Christ. So, Roman numeral 1, description. Description. Point 1, ascension of Jesus Christ. The ascension of Jesus Christ is one of the most vital experiences of Jesus Christ, yet filled with difficulties. And I'll go through some of the difficulties. The ascension of Jesus Christ is one of the most dramatic events in human history, and very few people even know about it. On the same level as God becoming man, the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus Christ, the spiritual death of Christ on the cross, the miraculous resurrection of Christ, followed by the miraculous ascension, the dramatic ascension, and we'll see that in Acts 1. It was extremely dramatic. The ascension of Jesus Christ. And then finally, the session of Christ, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now, when you put all of these together, the incarnation, the ascension, his death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension, session at the right hand of God, you have the glory of Jesus Christ. The fullness of the great glory of Christ in those events. They should forever be on our mind. His coming to earth, his dying on a cross, his resurrection from the dead, his ascension to God the Father, and God the Father seating him at his right hand, a member of the human race. One of us seated at the right hand of the Father. And you want to talk about Satan being infuriated? That did it. And that's why today, after that happened, church age begins, as we'll see, Satan intensified the conflict. He intensified it. One, because we're all indwelled by the Holy Spirit, but two, because of his anger, his jealousy. He reaps with jealousy and anger that a member of the human race, born of woman, seated where he ought to be seated. And if you don't understand jealousy, You don't understand Satan's position right now and why so many attacks are on Christians, their marriages, and your spiritual life. It's going to attack everybody, everyone that he can. And the more you strive to make Christ the center of your life, the reason you're here, the more you're going to be attacked by Satan and his attacks on earth. So, the birth of Jesus Christ is God becoming man. The death of Jesus Christ is a spiritual death on the cross. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The ascension of Christ, the first human to ascend to the throne of God. And the session of Jesus Christ, a member of human race, sitting on the right hand of God, on the throne of God. Now, got to relate, that's the throne of God. He will come and sit on his throne in the millennium, here on earth, in Jerusalem. That will be his throne. Right now, he's sitting on God the Father's throne. So they've got these issues of the thrones. Okay, point two. The ascension of Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ leaving planet earth and ascending to his place of origin to take his seat at the right hand of God. And three, the ascension of Jesus Christ is directly related to the three other events. All these events are necessary and interdependent. The death of Christ is dependent upon what? The incarnation. His coming to earth. And the resurrection of Christ is dependent on his death. His ascension is dependent on his resurrection. His session is dependent upon his ascension. It's all interrelated. God's marvelous plan for Jesus Christ. Well, we'll resume here and begin the second point next Wednesday evening. And I hope that we put these things together, it'll enrich your relationship with Christ. That's why I'm going to go through these things. I hope it enriches you. You become cognizant of things maybe you didn't think about. And knowing him as the shepherd of your life, as your friend. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for you. What an awesome God you are. Your plan is overwhelming. The scope of your plan, the working out of your plan in human history, just boggles the mind. Presentation of the gospel, forming a new people for the Messiah to come through, a bride being formed, and then Heavenly Father has returned to earth. All these things that we're learning, we thank you, Father, that you recorded them in your word. And we thank you that your Spirit opens these truths up to us. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.